Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Understand. to preach today, tonight. And I'm going to look in Exodus chapter 15. Like I said, I'll use this as a springboard to get into my message. And I want to skip the beginning verses, and I want to read from verse 3 on for a few moments. And we'll go from there. In verse 3, now understand what's just happened here. The children of Israel have just crossed the Red Sea. Not the Reed Sea, but the Red Sea. The Bible says the Red Sea. I believe it's the Red Sea. Matter of fact, I think it's impossible for it to be the Reed Sea. And, I mean, you know, think about it. The scientists are getting their heads together and they're saying, yep, they crossed over here in the reeds, through the reeds, rather than across the Red Sea. There's still a great miracle that 200,000 Egyptians drowned in this much water. These poor scientists just need to shut up and understand that God's word is true. So they just crossed the Red Sea. They got to the far side and looked back. And there they could see Pharaoh and his men. Think about it. If you read in the previous chapters, you'll find that Pharaoh chose 600 chosen chariots. That doesn't mean that's all he had. It means that they were the biggest, and they were the M1 tanks of that day. That's exactly true. That was a powerhouse. And then after his chosen chariots, there every chariot that was available that Egypt had followed suit as well. They went after God's children. You know the story. Pharaoh's army got into the middle, and the Lord stopped his breath from blowing upon the sea, and it collapsed in and killed all of Egypt's military in one blow. Now, at this point, Moses wrote a song about it. It says in verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. By the way, he's got a name which is above every name. Amen? Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. He is chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Then the second part of verse 7, we go on. Then sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, this is what Mr. Pharaoh had to say. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. And then Moses wrote this, but he didn't say but. They took that out of the final draft of the song. When they published it, you know, they wouldn't copyright that part of it. But he said, thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them up. What a description of what transpired. What a description. Now, I'm going through all this for a reason. Go right back with me to verse 2, and let's see what they said prior to the description of what God had done for them. The Lord is my strength and song, and He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. They are describing God as their strength, their song, their salvation. And why is that? It's because they saw with their very own eyes God move. They saw millions of God's people crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. Then they saw Pharaoh's army coming for them, and they saw their God do such a great act of war. I mean, it was a miracle that they said, I tell you, He's the God I want to choose as my strength. He's the God that I want to sing about. He has become our salvation. Woohoo! Now, here's what I'm getting to. They came to this conclusion after they saw God do something great and miraculous, right? Now, remember, the Jewish community, they could be a little rebellious. And I mean, one minute they could be on fire for God, and the next minute they were wanting to go back to Egypt. Remember? And so they weren't always the most grateful group of people, I must say. But they saw God do something great, and they decided, that's our God, that's our salvation. Well, then if we look over in 1 Kings in chapter 18, we find the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. He goes before the people of Israel there on the mountain. He said to them, choose you this day which God you will serve. If it be Baal, let it be Baal. If it be God, let it be God. And I mean to tell you, everybody was sitting on the edge of their seats. Elijah brought in wood, brought in sacrifices for Baal, laid the sacrifice on the altar, and then he looked to 400 of Baal's false prophets and said, pray the fire of your God down from heaven. And you know the story. They began to go in circles and do their chants and praise their false God. And around and around and around they went all morning. And then it got into the afternoon. And around and around and around they went. And through the heat of the day, around and around and around and around, it went. I'm telling you. And they got desperate. Because then Elijah started making fun of him. And he said, maybe he's gone to Disney World. Amen. Amen. Maybe he's gone to Vegas, Brother Mike. Amen. Where is your God? Is he in Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge? And he began to make fun of their God. And that made him pig-biting mad. And they started cutting themselves with sharp instruments and throwing themselves down on this wooden altar that Elijah had built until they had torn it all to pieces. And they kind of figured out after a while it wasn't going to happen. But Elijah did something. He said, first thing, let's rebuild the wooden altar. Let's rebuild it. He brought in 12 stones. Then he brought in barrels, four big barrels of water, and three times they filled those barrels up and poured over this sacrifice and dug a ditch around it. And man, all that water went down the sacrifice, over the rocks, soaked in that wood, and into those ditches. And then the business picked up. Elijah dropped on his knees and said, "Lord," this is Alton Midget's version of this, "I'm in a jam. I got all these rebellious Jews over here on this side of the mountain. I got all these false prophets of Baal on this side of the hill. And if you don't move, me and you both are going to look pretty dumb. I can tell you that right now." And God heard Elijah's prayer, and fire fell from heaven. And when it fell, it licked up all the sacrifice. It licked up the 12 stones. It licked up all of the wood on the wooden altar. And all of the water was gone. Pretty cool. Man, I tell you, if I could have been there, I would have been a little excited myself. I don't get real excited very easily, but that would have pulled my trigger. Now, after all this happened, in verse 39 of this chapter, listen to what it says. Listen to what the Lord said here. "And when all the people saw it," when they saw what I just described to you, "they fell on their faces. They said, 'The Lord, He is the King. The Lord, He is the God.'" Now, these are men and women that saw, I just mentioned, two great miracles of the Bible. They saw it, and man, they got happy about it. They saw these things and said, "That's the God that we want." But let me read you something, if I may. Well, I'll tell you what, before I do that, I want to share this with you. Forgive me, I'm sorry. Rahab, the harlot, in Joshua chapter 2. Remember the battle of Jericho? Remember the great city of Jericho that was walled and giants therein lived? Joshua sent in two spies, did he not? Through events that are unknown, they ended up at Rahab's house, hiding out from the king of Jericho. Well, Rahab, when she met these two spies, these Jewish spies that Joshua had sent in, this is what she said to them: "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When ye came out of Egypt, what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." And listen to what it says. "And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there any remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." They heard, they heard it, ladies and gentlemen. They did not see all the great wonders, but they believed the great wonders. You see the difference between this situation and the other two? The guys at Mount Carmel saw it. Woo, that's the God I want. The Jews crossing the Red Sea saw God destroy their enemy. Woo, that's our God. They saw it. But Rahab, the harlot, perched up on a wall of Jericho, didn't see it, but heard it and believed it. This harlot, this lady of the night, I got to tell you, you know what happened? She was saved. The Bible says in this chapter, if you'll go and take your time and read it on your own time, you'll find that the spies ended up in her home. The king's men came knocking on the door, said, "Where's the Jews?" And she said, "I don't know nothing." And they said, they came in and started looking around, and she had hid them up on a roof and covered them up with some leaves and things. And so they didn't find them. And the deal that she made with Joshua's spies was, "I saved your life. Now, when you come and you destroy Jericho, I'm asking that you'll save my life, my mom and daddy's life, my sister's lives, my brother's lives, and their families. Will you do that?" And they say, "Yes, we will." That is a picture of salvation. She heard about the great things of God, and she did not see them, and yet Rahab the harlot said, "I want that God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. I want to be one of you people." And that's exactly what happened. Now, what if Rahab, the harlot, what if she would have said, "You know, I heard about this God and all, but instead of receiving and by faith that God was God," what if she would have said, "I tell you, fellas, what I'm going to do. I'm going to take off this revealing garment, and I'm going to start wearing turtlenecks. Turtlenecks to my nose, and my dresses down to my toes. And I tell you what we're going to do, fellas. All this stuff that we've used to seduce men and get their money for years, the alcohol, we're going to take that out of the fridge, and we're going to put Coca-Cola and Sprite and lemonade. And I tell you, we're going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to get rid of my girls, and I'm going to stop practicing prostitution. I'm going to turn over a new leaf." She would have been then depending on her own righteousness, her own self, to earn a place in God's family. It would not have worked. She had to believe. She believed what she heard. It scared her. It shook her right down to the bones. And she said, "I know that your God is the God, and that is the God I want to serve, and I'm going to ask you not just to save me, but to save my family." And she didn't see it, Brother Joe. She just heard about it. I remember, and Christians, any of you that have ever been born again, we were in the same boat. I didn't see Jesus die on the cross. Did you, Brother Dave? Anybody else in here? No. I didn't see those men and women pull the moisture out from the bottom of their tongue and spit on him. I didn't see that. I didn't see him going before Pilate and Herod and being mocked. I didn't see with my eye the soldiers slapping him and beating him and ripping his beard out of his face. I didn't see that. I did not see them beat him with a cat of nine tails until you could see internal organs. I did not see that. I did not see him drag that cross through the streets of Jerusalem. I did not see that. And neither did you. I did not see him with wicked knees climb Calvary's hill. I did not see it. I did not see it when they nailed him to the cross. They laid him down and ran spikes through each hand and through his feet. I did not see it. I did not see it. I did not hear it when they raised him up and dropped that cross into the hole which separated his bones. Not one broken. I did not see it. I did not see it when they placed the crown of thorns on his head. I did not see the blood dripping down his head, down his body, out of his body, down the cross, and flowing down Calvary's hill. I did not see it. I did not see it, ladies and gentlemen, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I did not see it. But I want to say that one day when I was 7 years old, 6 years old, I heard it. I wasn't like the guys in Exodus that saw with my naked eye. I wasn't like the children of Israel on Mount Carmel that day that saw God send the fire from heaven and they believed. I was like the Rahab, the sinner that lived up on the sinful walls of life. And one day, somebody told me about Jesus. Told me about how he died for me. And the reason he died for us, folks, is because that we're sinners. We're sinners by birth. Adam and Eve blew it, and it tainted the rest of us. On Wednesday nights, I know most of you are here on Wednesday nights, aren't you? I made a statement one time, we need to have a slap Eve line when we get to heaven. Just give her one good slap for eating that apple. The story of God's salvation for the children going through the Red Sea was as real. It was as real as if she had been there. It shook her. Read it. It shook. It not just shook her, but it shook others. When I realized that I was a sinner, and I was without hope, it shook me. Christians, you remember that day? When you realized that you were without hope and the story of Jesus that may have been told to you once, a dozen times, or 100 dozen times, I don't know, but the reality of what you had heard through the Word of God and God's men or your Sunday school teacher or junior church teachers, remember how it became real and it shook you. The convicting power of God grabbed a hold of your heart and said, "You're lost. You need to be saved." Remember? You didn't see it, not with this naked eye, but Rahab saw the crossing of the Red Sea with her heart. She saw it. It was as real to her as if she'd seen it with the naked eye. And I want to say to you, I didn't see Jesus die for me on the cross. I didn't hear him forgive one of the thieves. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the other thief blaspheme God and die and go to hell. I didn't hear any of that. I didn't see it with my naked eye, but ladies and gentlemen, you ready for this? I heard it. I saw it with my heart one day. God revealed it to me so clearly that I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And tonight, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I want to say to you, I sure do pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal your sin, reveal your sin to you in such a way that you'll see the cross. You'll see the love that Christ had for you and me. Not that you can see it with your naked eye, but you can see it through your heart. Can't hardly talk about the death of Christ without mentioning this. He's not dead anymore, amen? Amen, bro. He's been resurrected. That's right. He was resurrected 3 days. Hey, just like he said he would be. And then if you read your Bible, you'll find out that people all over actually saw him. At one time, over 500 at one time met together to see Jesus. At one time. I guess it'd be easy for them to believe they saw it. Listen to what the Bible says. You ready for this? This is what Jesus said unto Thomas, I believe it was 8 days after the resurrection. Are you ready for this? Because Thomas, remember doubting Thomas? He was the guy, I ain't going to believe it until I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. I had an agnostic tell me one time, he said, I'll believe there's a God when I see it. I said, buddy, it'll be too late if you wait till then. But here's what they said. Here's what Jesus said to Thomas. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Then he said, blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Rahab did not see, but she believed, ladies and gentlemen. And when Joshua came around with the armies of God and the walls fell, there was a little house perched up over here that did not collapse. And inside of the former house of prostitution was Rahab, mama and daddy, sisters and brothers, and their wives and their children. There was generations saved in the house of prostitution because Rahab believed what she had heard. Man, I like that. You've heard tonight. Jesus loves you. Died on the cross for your sins. Whew, man. Wants to make you a new creature in Christ. Takes the drunks, sobers them up. Takes the drug addicts, dries them out. Takes the prostitutes and brings them into the family of God. Well, she was the grandmother or great-grandmother of David, wasn't it? Great-grandmother. Pretty good line, huh? I mean, she was stuck right there with the spout, man. King David, great-grandma. Goodness gracious. God will clean up anybody and use them. Isn't that great? Years ago, we were at a church, and there was a they were feeding the preachers, and there was a lady there that had a scarf on. It's kind of awkward. It wasn't wintertime. And she didn't have it hanging around her neck. It was like tied tight. And it kind of looked a little strange. And so she was serving the meal and so forth. And then the pastor began to explain that she was a woman that literally walked the streets of Atlanta and sold her body. And God had saved her. And on that day, that little harlot was scooping out our food and putting it on the plates of God's men so they could eat and enjoy a dinner. Man, that's what God does. Amen. He takes them out of the whorehouses and brings them into God's house. Cleans them up. Amen. That's our folks, that's what Jesus does. And he wants to do that for you tonight. No matter who you are or what you are, Jesus loves you. And all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. Tonight, that's my challenge. Just believe. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, it's easy to believe when we see something. But the Lord Jesus is saying, look, this is a faith thing. If you want to have a relationship with me, you got to believe. Believe that I am the Son of God. Understand that you're a sinner and you need salvation. And they say, well, preacher, I know some Christians and they aren't very good people. And you could say, tell us some bad things about people that claim to be Christians. And I agree. It's a bad thing when Christians don't act like Christians. But I just want to tell you that if they're saved, Jesus will take care of his children. But that's not your concern. That's not my concern. My concern is not how straight you walk your life or if you're a good Christian or a bad Christian. My concern is tonight, are you going to go to heaven? You're going to go to hell. My concern is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? In a few minutes, we're going to baptize Blake. A few weeks ago, we were over at the corn maze, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of Blake. And that young man bowed his head, grabbed a hold of my hand, and asked Jesus to come to his heart and to save him. And folks, I believe Blake was sincere. I believe the Lord saved him there at the edge of those cornfields that day. In a minute, we're going to baptize him. This baptism is just a public profession that he's a born-again Christian. It does not get him to heaven. I know a lot of people have been baptized and bust hell wide open. He's just publicly saying, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's all he's doing. And what about you? It's also the first step of obedience for a Christian. What about you tonight? If you were to die, if you were to die where you're sitting, would you meet the Lord? Everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, please. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, this is an altar call for you. We want you to be saved tonight. We don't want you to die and go to hell. Jesus loves you enough to die for you. Then he thought so much of you that he resurrected to prove that he was God. Won't you come tonight? Pastor, would you come? Thank you.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
You obey the Lord tonight.
My humble cry.
If the Lord has spoken to you through the Holy Spirit and the message from the Word of God,
thou art calling,
I say, he has spoken the truth.
Savior,
do you know the Lord?
Hear my humble cry.